Mini episode 427 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs, consulting, and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 427 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with the FDH Lounge review of the top five themes of the first half of the final season of Mad Men. Every week during the season, we took a look at the top five ways that the previous episode helped to bring the series endgame into clearer focus. Now, in looking back at the seven episodes that formed the first half of Mad Men's final season, we can see clearly how they changed the trajectory of the series and set up what could be an incredible climax. Here are the top five themes of this roller coaster ride for the characters. Number five, future phobia. Michael Ginsberg's severed nipple was but the most severe manifestation of this phenomenon. It was certainly present in society the year after 2001 A Space Odyssey and the multiple traumas of 1968, which ripped at the fabric of society like no other period since the Civil War. This season has certainly conveyed the apprehension that gripped the country as it approached the 1970s and the heightened tension in a Big Apple that was deteriorating even worse than the rest of the country. Number four, mentoring. The show's central example of this is Don's nurturing of Peggy's talent. It took quite a while this season, with some very low points coming first, but they eventually reestablished their relationship in grand suitcase style. But other examples popped up all over the place. Freddie Rumson, of all people, confronted Don with an example in the form of his own person of the possible ghost of Christmas future, and fortunately, Don heeded Freddie's advice before flushing his Sterling Cooper future down the turlet. Also surprisingly, Pete and Harry were able to step in to help Don with a few matters in a manner that would have been incomprehensible not too long ago. And of course, Bert's last conversation in the mid-season finale with Roger was fraught with meaning that the old eccentric had to have intended. By calling Roger out for his lack of leadership, Bert motivated the company's fortunate son in a way that all of his losses of recent seasons failed to do. Without Bert around as the glue, however symbolic, that held the place together, it was up to Roger to save the firm as it has always existed. Bert's last mind game before moving on to the great beyond was critical to Roger's success. Number three, inevitability. The mid-season finale had several uplifting moments, but the somber acceptance of the Draper marriage disillusion by Don and Megan was not among them. They persisted through their difference in age, but when geography and Megan's evolving style added to the dissimilarity pile, the challenges grew too grave. But the season had other examples of circumstances that were irreversible. As always, Betty's always going to be Betty, no matter what, and usually with unfortunate results. Bert's joyful viewing of the space landing ended with the reminder that death waits for no man. Ginsberg followed years of growing weirdness with a culmination that seems sadly logical. The perfect manifestation of cliched 60s rebellion, hippie commune living, claimed the empty vessel of Roger's spoiled yet neglected only child. And while other characters managed long overdue personal growth, Pete's personal life remained regrettable, with only a vapid California girlfriend to half distract him from flushing away his marriage and any semblance of a relationship with his daughter. This is by far the darkest of the five major themes. Number two, tenacity. None of the victories claimed this season have come easily. Peggy reclaimed her valuable relationship with Don, this time as an actual peer, but only after much misery. While her personal life remains a source of frustration for her, it doesn't get much better professionally than the way that she leveraged the moon landing for the Burger Chef presentation. She completely buried Lou's image of her as a mere flunky. For Roger, the unsuccessful effort that he put into saving his daughter at least formed a good dry run for salvaging his professional family in the face of Jim Cutler's manipulations. And Don, while still losing his wife, eventually recaptured the love and respect of his now maturing daughter at a critical point in her life and after a number of severe miscues on his part. Best of all for him, he probably now has the maturity to value this even more than his flashier accomplishment in the mid-season finale returning from exile all the way and wrote to retaking his status as the creative alpha male of Madison Avenue. Number one, redemption. John's personal and professional redemption has already been remarked upon with the previous themes, as has Roger's, but seeing Sterling actually amount to anything substantive, there's more discussion. It's a more subtle development than Bert's passing, but it's way more unlikely. His path as a leader will be critical to the story over the final seven episodes. Peggy is clearly developing the confidence to realize that nothing will be beyond the reach of someone with her heart and abilities. Sally's come through some rough stretches to be way more poised and wise than someone of her age and life traumas should be. And Betty? Well, never mind. The day that Matthew Weiner grants her so much as a touch of self-awareness is the day that this show would irreversibly jump the shark. But the vast majority of the rest of the characters progressed in a way that was completely necessary and frankly overdue. None of them had moved forward in a substantive and lasting way through the first six seasons of the show, and the excuse that the chaos of the 1960s was a metaphor for the forward and backward rotating arcs of the seasons was starting to wear thin. But fortunately, Weiner and his writing team have committed to a course that shows actual sustained growth by many of their most important characters. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone gets a happy ending. Such a move would seem unsatisfying and very phony given the trajectory of the series. But it's tremendous to know that the characters aren't trapped on an endless circuitous loop, but one that's going to lead them to different places and perspectives than they had in 1960 when the program's timeline began. This development keeps alive the hope that, like Breaking Bad, Mad Men will stick the landing in 2015 and secure its place towards the front of the top tier of new millennium TV dramas. Thank you for tuning into this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.